Well, today we're going to start the twin topics of suicide and euthanasia. And so I wanted to start off with an introductory scenario. Everybody have a sheet here? Okay. Let's say that your father was in a tragic car accident that left him paralyzed from the neck down. He's still alive, conscious, and can even speak, but the rest of his body will forever be useless. In a moment of desperation, he begs you to take his life and spare him a lifetime of suffering. Now, why would many people say that taking his life is a loving and compassionate action?
You're sparing him from a lifetime of living in a body that doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Because who should have to do that?
Mm-hmm.
I think you could argue that for him to stay alive, he has to inconvenience other people because he can't take care of himself. So mm-hmm. maybe all those medical bills of paying for someone to come and take care of him, and, mm-hmm. or having a spouse do it. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
The term you hear is he has no quality of life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Revival, there's no.
Yeah. mm-hmm.
So if it's his wish for that to happen.
Yeah, it's honoring to his wish. Was it autonomy? Mm-hmm. Other thoughts on why this would be a compassionate action? I mean, if a horse is lame, what do you do?
Shooting.
Yeah, because that is...
Merciful,
or what's the word that they use?
Humane.
Humane, right? Yeah, it's a humane thing to put the suffering to death, right? Now, what value does euthanasia place upon your father's life?
Or what does it say about the value of life?
Yeah, value of his life. That people would, you know, what the majority of people, if you were to poll, would say what? What should you do in this situation? Right? So what does that say about the value assigned to his life? What's it based on?
It's about that of a horse.
Huh?
It's about that of a horse.
That of a horse? Yeah.
Or he had some value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of them would say it's based on the person's life, like it's because the father mm-hmm. says, right? So everyone's life is, they're the ultimate authority in their own.
Mm-hmm.
If they value their life, then mm-hmm. okay, their life can have value. But
yeah,
if they don't, like they're the ultimate judge of what their life is worth.
Mm-hmm.
Or that you only have value if you have something to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
If you're dependent, necessarily you don't
mm-hmm.
have value.
Yeah. Now, let's say your dad was brain dead and kept alive by a ventilator machine, which breathed on his behalf. Is turning off the switch murder? Why not? No? Why do you say that, Seth?
Because something's aiding him.
Mm-hmm.
If he can turn off that machine and he continues on his own,
mm-hmm.
then that's God's will, then.
Uh-huh.
But if it's something that where he dies, that also is God's will.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
It's not up to us.
You're not actively
mm-hmm.
taking this person out. It's a passive.
Right.
Whereas yeah. in the first scenario, you are actively having to take
mm-hmm.
that person.
Yeah.
So, if you're paralyzed from the neck down, you can't feed yourself. You have no ability to. So, if you just don't feed them, is that the same?
That's a good question.
Well, you're not actively killing him.
It does bring up the question of how do you define life? Because like you included the words brain dead. So
mm-hmm.
is life the, I don't know the biological terms, but cellular, respiratory, like is,
yeah.
is
so,
that
but
life?
But he can talk and he can interact, but you're right, he can't feed himself.
Yeah, so you're not killing him.
Yeah, and certain quads, if you're above a certain level, they can't even breathe by themselves.
Yeah.
But their mental capacity is intact, so.
Yeah.
Like Christopher
mm-hmm.
Reeve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that becomes an issue too, right? We're going to talk about, I'm not going to answer these questions. I'm going to read them all out here. You look at euthanasia, 73% of Americans support euthanasia. They think it should be allowed. Weekly churchgoers, they have less support. Only 55% of weekly churchgoers say that euthanasia should be allowed. And you look at the cultural argument, I'm not sure. I mean, there's a couple of movies that, you know, just to kind of draw your attention to. One would be, yeah.
What's our working definition of euthanasia?
Basically, it's facilitating suicide. Okay, and I'll give you more of a definition of what is a suicide later on. So I don't want to still, don't still, I can't, I have this all laid out with mystery and intrigue, Michael, okay?
You left the packets there, and I was in the room by myself, and I'm ready to teach it.
Don't make me regret it, okay? Don't make me regret it. So there's a couple movies that that have come out that I think kind of make the cultural case for it. One in particular would be Million Dollar Baby. You guys ever seen that one? Yeah. I'm going to ruin it for you. You know, basically, I watched it thinking it was a sports movie about a female boxer, and she finally gets her big shot at success, and what happens? She gets knocked out, and then she hits her head, and in the process, she breaks her neck, and she is then a quadriplegic. And she begs her manager, Clint Eastwood, played by Clint Eastwood, to do the compassionate thing. And so he comes in at night and he basically finds a way to kill her, but he does it with love in his heart, so it's not murder, right? And then another one is, what was it, Me Before You? You ever seen that one? And it's about, you know, this woman who gives care to her charge, who happens to be, you know, this hunky man who became a quadriplegic. And at the very end, he wants to kill himself, and he does, but she at least gives him some redemptive value beforehand. So you really see that there's a glamorization where if somebody wants to end their own life and do it on their own terms and do it in a painless way. Brittany Menard would be another example. If you remember the young lady from Oregon who basically took her own life. And so there's all this death with dignity, and it really is a is indicative of the worldview that we live in, you know, that we should be captains of our own soul. And so what do we make of it? And there's really two issues here. One is you have to address the issue of suicide, right? What is suicide? And then you kind of go from there to euthanasia. Okay, so that's going to be the tactic we're going to take. So we're going to do some class discussion and thinking. We're going to talk about what is a suicide? What is a suicide? Okay, so we're going to, I'll give you the situation, and then we'll talk about whether or not it's good. Do not turn the page. Look at the front page, okay? Michael, you're not allowed to discuss. No, you can't.
So look at the back of the book.
So we're going to ask, is it a suicide, yes or no? And we'll take classes. So the first situation, an elderly man despairing of life leaves a note behind and jumps off the bridge. Is that a suicide, yes or no?
Yes.
Anybody say no? Okay, so by unanimous consent,
that's true. I don't know.
Number one is yes. Okay, clear case of suicide. How about this one? A soldier is captured in war, takes a poison capsule in order to avoid a torturous death to hide secrets from the enemy. Is that a suicide, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Anybody say no?
Justifiable.
Justifiable? Okay.
If he's protecting other human life, I think it starts to call into question.
Okay.
So if he's trying to not give up secrets.
Okay. Okay, so interesting point there.
So based on the information we have, yes.
So yes.
Well, just based on this, because it doesn't say anything about if there are other prisoners that he's protecting or something like that, or does he know the secret to
where he knows the secret,
the whole layer of people are that are trying to infiltrate, and you know,
yeah, I mean, it would be that type of situation.
Yeah,
is he for sure going to get killed by the captors?
So basically he's a man, let's say he has access to the top secret information, location of various spies in the network, and he knows that he'll be subjected to torture.
And Tom Cruise will fail in his mission.
Yeah. And you'll probably cough up secrets compromising the status of the war as well as other things.
So I would say maybe a case for no, because I would imagine it like throwing himself on a grenade.
Yeah.
Okay.
He doesn't know the grenade's going to go off, but it's pretty likely it's going to.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an immediate danger. He does it to save, so it's a sacrificial death. And,
okay.
And he's attempting to save life. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you
bring up a very interesting point. So what's his objective?
His objective is the preservation of life.
Yeah.
Not determination.
Okay.
And but so when faced with two choices, he seeks to sacrifice his life in order to save more lives.
Okay.
So I would say there's a case that this might be in one of those categories.
Okay,
well,
Joe.
What if the,
Joe,
I'm
then
saying
Joe.
If he takes his life, it's suicide. Justified, or is it unjustified suicide? I mean,
okay.
What's our, it kind of still boils down to our ultimate definition of what suicide is.
Okay.
I mean, if we,
so, and this is part, yeah.
Willingly take our life, it's suicide, but...
If you're to define suicide as merely taking of your own life...
Then yes.
Then yes. Are you going to say something, Doug?
Yeah, I mean, it brings in the what if it's a bad spy that, you know, has a bunch of, you know, things that if he continues to live are going to cause more issues.
Mm-hmm.
Does that then, we want him to take that pill in that case?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a lot of gray.
Okay.
Well, if he's carrying a poisonous capsule, he's been trained that this is what you've got to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so really, his training would tell him his decision is not his, but it's for the better good of the,
okay.
The service.
Okay.
Yeah, you could draw a parallel on that to the difference between murder and execution.
Okay.
So are you acting on your own behalf or on behalf of the state?
Okay.
So has he been commanded, if you're captured, take the pill?
Grab it.
Did they say, well, it's up to you? You know, take it if you feel.
Okay.
There's a lot of gray. Yeah.
Okay, Katie, did you have?
I was stretching.
Okay, you're just stretching. Okay.
That's
right. I thought you were going to speak on behalf of Michael because he's banned.
I'm speaking for someone on his behalf. I'm confidential at this point. I'll argue suicide only requires intent and consent.
Okay.
So. In your example, say he accidentally took the poison capsule, it's not suicide because he didn't mean to die.
Okay.
Jumping on the grenade is still suicide because you're intending to die, irregardless of how many lives you save.
Okay.
And then consent being, that's what makes it not murder, if someone pulls the plug for you.
Okay.
What about intent versus desiring to die? So the man that jumps on the grenade doesn't desire to die. Whereas it's someone that...
Well, he does, because
no,
he's desiring to do it. In
he's
order
desiring
to
save someone else's life.
Given the option,
hopeful,
he would not do it.
Yeah, hopefully, the grenade doesn't go off. So I'm not, you're jumping on a thing, finally, the grenade's going to kill me. He
okay.
doesn't want to, so there is a difference. Someone who wants their life to
right.
end, right? Versus someone who would like no lives to end.
Okay, I see your point between intent and desire, then.
Yeah.
But his intent...
Yes.
Is to trade his life for theirs, right? That's why he jumped on the
His train. Intent is to preserve as much life as possible.
Okay. So, all right. Well, let's go to another one. Let's go to another one. We're going to take a vote. We're going to take a vote. Okay, how many say it is suicide? Okay, how many say no?
Do you mean suicide and wrong? Or...
I'm just saying suicide.
By your own definition. It depends on what definition of suicide you're using.
Depends on it. Okay.
Are you talking about
yes
that question?
No.
Yeah, we're defining suicide here, okay? So I'm kind of
just a discussion.
So this one is split. We have a split decision here. All right. How about a truck driver foreseeing his own death drives off a bridge in order to avoid hitting children playing in a road? Is that suicide?
No.
He doesn't know.
If he had turned the other way, would he have been?
He knows. I mean, like, we're talking Royal Gorge. Like, we're talking, like, he knows he's going to die.
Take a grand miracle.
It would take a miracle. I mean, maybe the Lord could rapture him on the way to the grave. You know what I'm saying? But it would be that level. Okay, so he knows he's going to die. Okay, so is that suicide if he drives off the side of the road into the canyon to avoid hitting kids? Is that suicide? Okay.
It also goes back to what's your definition of suicide?
I know.
He drove off a cliff.
So you guys really want to know my definition of suicide now, don't you? It's all working beautifully.
He died to save other people.
He died to save other people. Okay.
So you could argue, yeah, he killed himself because he drove off a cliff. So in one sense, it is suicide, but he died to save other people, so then it's not suicide.
Okay. So is it suicide? Raise your hand if you think it's a suicide. Okay. Raise your hand if you don't. Okay, so we're going to say no on number three, okay? A hospitalized cancer patient with 6 months to live, this is number four, shoots himself in order to save his family from unneeded psychological and financial suffering. Is that a suicide or not?
Yes.
Anybody want to argue no? Okay. Well, that was easy. Yes, it's a suicide. All right. Okay, number five, a terminally ill patient realizing death is imminent requests that she not be resuscitated again if another heart failure occurs. Is that suicide?
No.
Anybody want to say yes? Okay, so that's a no. Okay. And number six, a Jehovah Witness refuses a simple blood transfusion for religious reasons and subsequently dies for lack of blood. No? Anybody want to say yes, that is a suicide? Michael thinks it might be a suicide.
I'm on the fence, because is it suicide if you know something will save you? Like if I run in traffic on the I-35, is it suicide? I know what will save me is not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pretend it's like rush hour. Just all semi trucks. That's all it is. So if you know
all semi trucks.
Well, we argue about guaranteed death. All that,
this is a guaranteed death, right?
So that's where I'm on.
So the life will be saved with a blood transfusion. They will certainly die without it.
Well, we just talked about no resuscitation.
Exactly. Active and passive, though.
Okay.
Active is I'm going to take an action designed to bring about my death. Mm-hmm. Passive is I'm not going to take an action that would prevent my death.
Okay.
And morally speaking, those are two different categories.
Okay.
And speaking, I've worked in hospice during my career, and like what you were saying about like the resuscitation. Terminally ill patients, they're dying. Like, you cannot receive hospice services unless you sign a DNR.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you can't get end-of-life care unless you sign a DNR.
Mm-hmm.
I think this would almost be in a similar topic of that, of I recognize I am ill, I am choosing to just let nature take its course rather than take preventative measures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think it's not a right or wrong. I think sometimes you're faced with two wrongs.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if someone says to me, hey, I want you to go steal that, or I'm going to kill someone you love.
Mm-hmm.
What's the...
Okay, so that... there's.
I mean, the same thing with your life. You know, I need to either take my life, or I'm going to take lives. Theoretically, I just wonder sometimes there are just some gray areas where you've got two wrongs, and you have to choose the wrong just based on what you think is the least wrong.
Okay. So let's take a vote on number six. Is that a suicide or not?
No.
Okay. So let's go over the definition of suicide.
Whose definition?
This is from J.P. Moreland, which I agree with. I mean, when we're talking about the ethics of suicide, we're talking about this is when it's self-murder. This is when it's wrong. Okay? An act of suicide... An act is a suicide if and only if the person intentionally or directly causes his or her own death as an ultimate end in itself or as a means to another end, like pain relief. Through acting, taking a pill, or refraining from acting, like refusing to eat, when that act is not coerced and not done sacrificially for the lives of other persons or in obedience to God. Okay? So, let's look at the death of Jesus. Was that a suicide? He passively allowed himself to die. But what made it not a suicide?
Sacrificially
and out of obedience to God, right? So when you look at an elderly man, I mean, that's clear. Now, a soldier captured in a war takes a poison capsule in order to avoid torture, death, to hide secrets from the enemy. What's his objective? Just to preserve life, right? Truck driver, I mean, what's his objective? Is to save life, right? The terminally ill patient, I mean, it's not... they're not actively causing their death. And this is a very situation from... like, if somebody goes on a hunger strike and refuses to eat... I mean, when you refuse to eat, that's like refusing to breathe. It will guarantee a death, right? So that would be like a very clear example of, let's say, passive suicide is when you're voluntarily starving yourself to death to make a point. It's passive because you're not, you're withholding something from you. It's not like you're putting a gun to your head.
It's
an action you're refusing to do. As opposed to an action you're inflicting upon yourself.
So it's a non-action rather than an action.
Yeah, it's a non-action. So it'd be passive in that category. Not somebody starving you. I mean, that wouldn't be a suicide. That would be a murder. Yeah, which is why, like, when we look at Joseph Stalin, when he starved the Ukrainian peasants, that was an act of murder because he was withholding something from them. Mm-hmm. Okay? Or strangulation is when you withhold oxygen from people. Okay?
It's a little more active.
A little more active, right? And so you look at a Jehovah's Witness refuses a simple blood transfusion. Well, it's for religious reasons. It's out of obedience to God. Okay? Now, it has to be, and I would add this qualification, it has to be obedience to the right God, because you have suicide bombers where they'll say that's actually an act of suicide in the sense of they're doing it out of obedience to your God, but obviously that's misguided. That all morality needs to be based off of the right morals. Okay? So any questions about that definition of suicide? So like Samson, did he commit suicide?
No.
Right? What was his objective?
It's to avenge his God.
Yeah.
And take lots of lives.
Lots of lives, right? Okay. So you look at, so that would be an example. So that helps us understand why Samson's not a suicide. How about King Saul? What was his objective?
What did it say?
End his life, right? Judas, Ahithophel. I mean, those are the three cases of suicide that we find in the Bible. So Jesus and Samson do not fall into that category of suicide. Okay?
So what about number 6 again? We said no.
Simple blood transfusion. No, because it's done out of sincere religious conviction.
But all morality has to be based on the right morals.
Yeah. I mean, as far as like in the... as far as the state is concerned, I mean, you do have... some prohibitions like you shall not drink the blood, right? You can't eat blood or drink blood. And so they would see that as kind of a prohibition against doing an activity like this. So I think even though I disagree with that, you can kind of see there is a misguided but sensible belief that can be rooted in some Christian truth. Does that make sense? And blood transfusion is not eating blood. I mean, that's different.
And I think that they, I mean, in the sense of that first part, when I read that and read the definition, mm-hmm. I don't think the Jehovah's Witness would like to die. Their hope is that God will miraculously sustain their life, and they're willing to risk a certain, well, almost certain death.
Yeah. Yeah. But whereas
in this
I think what
it's they cause their death as an ultimate end in itself, or like the goal is to die.
Yeah, and that's a like the suicide bomber. The goal is to die.
And to kill other
people. And to kill other people in the process. To die a warrior.
So the soldier and the truck driver, were those?
They're not, because their objective was to save a life,
okay,
not to take their own. Yes, Brian.
So I watched a documentary on Junior Seau the other night, and he killed himself but shot himself in the heart so that his brain could be analyzed to prove that CTE was a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
In thoughts that he would save other football players going forward. I mean, I think it was a suicide, but the thought was to...
For research purposes?
For research, he thought he had the CTE disease, and he said, I want my brain to be preserved and studied in order to see if other football players are suffering from the same.
His brain would have been there had he died of natural causes. I mean, he didn't have to accelerate his death.
Yes.
Yeah, and I would say that the act of actually saving a life, it has to be within the realm of possibility. I mean, so when somebody kills themselves, like in scenario number five, was a terminally ill patient realizing death is imminent, number four, a hospitalized cancer patient with 6 months to live shoots himself in order to save his family from unneeded psychological and financial suffering. It's not to save their lives, it's to save them from suffering.
Right.
And so with CTE, that wasn't killing people, it was causing suffering. And even if he was sincere in it, I mean, maybe there's a possibility.
Well, I mean, there's a difference between, you know, everybody over 60 should shoot themselves because there's too many humans on the planet, and so for the sake of the younger generation, we need to have fewer consumers of resources.
Yeah.
That would be the same argument, basically. Like, in a very roundabout way, I could see how that's sacrificial-ish. But
it's crazy.
The difference between that and, like, there is food for one person to survive one more day, and there's two of us here. I will wander off into the woods and die so that you can have it.
Yeah.
You know, one's immediate, one's kind of like not.
Yeah.
Maybe this will somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I say it has to be grounded in reasonable reality. So the Jehovah Witness, I think, is grounded in a reasonable reality as seen from Scripture. But yeah, I mean. But when you have, like, let's say you need to drink the Kool-Aid or the Flavor-Aid in Jonestown because the feds are going to get you. I mean, that is a mass suicide that was done because of religious manipulation, not religious conviction.
I'm not trying to save anyone.
Yeah.
So in today's medical world,
okay,
you're sick, got cancer, so you know something about it. I'm not going to take chemotherapy because it's only going to extend my life 2 weeks.
Okay.
Or you've got a more advanced thing, I'm not going to do this because it's got a 1% chance of extending your life.
Okay.
I mean, you can go on.
We're going to cover that on page. No, but we will cover that. We will cover that. So I can't steal my own thunder, right? So if I tell you all the good stuff now, you won't come back.
Oh, we'll be back.
We'll be back, yeah. So I'm trying to hook you guys in. So let's talk about the morality of suicide. Is suicide forbidden in the Bible? And as I mentioned, there's three examples of true suicides, and they're described. Okay? They're described. Now, all of them are kind of traitorous, wicked men who do it. Okay? But that by itself doesn't say that you could say it's categorically wrong. Okay? So we'll look at the morality of suicide, starting with the sanctity of life in Genesis 1, 26 through 27. Volunteer to read that.
Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them."
Okay. So what does this passage teach about the value which God places upon human life?
I mean, we're created in the image of God, so we have a higher value than the animals.
Absolutely. Okay, and that's going to come out in 9:6. Whoever sheds a man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God, he made man. This is where we're going to have some fun, okay? PETA stands for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. They believe that animals are not ours to use for food, clothing, entertainment, experimentation, or any purpose or any other purposes, and that animals deserve consideration of their best interest. Does Genesis 9:6 assign such value to animals? And I didn't watch the Oscars, but I always like to peek in to just see what's being said. And Joaquin Phoenix gave a very moving speech. Do you guys know about this? Oh, man. It was. He plays a psychopath compellingly for a reason. Okay, we'll just say that. He talks about how, you know, as humans, we are so egocentric as humans, where we believe that we can just go into a cow against her will and inseminate her so that she is pregnant, and then we rip the calves away from the mother and take her for our own, and then we extract the milk intended for the calf and consume it, and then we eat the cow when it's all done. Yeah, and I was like, when you put it that way, you know, I almost wanted to burn my leather belt. So you look at that. What does he have a point? Alan, what say you, Rancher?
Obviously, we do that, but we don't rip them away. I mean, it's all graphically stated. That it's,
aren't they squalling, begging for their mothers?
No. Well, they will for their food.
Truth bomb. Yep.
So, you know, the fact that you eat them is true. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah, we do.
God gave us permission to do that.
Okay.
We don't necessarily have to be cruel to the animals. We're supposed to rule over them.
Yeah.
But it's not like something that we actively, like, you know, find the most cruel way to kill a cow or to eat it, unless you have to. If it's going to preserve your own life, then yeah.
Yeah.
But if there's a way to humanely do it, then yeah, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
We also get into what's cruel and what's not. I trap.
There you go.
Call that cruel.
Well, if you go one step further, people will say owning animals as pets is cruel. Just to stoke the fire.
Okay. If they want to see cruel, they should just see
I've
Mother
literally
Nature.
I've heard that from professional animals.
Mother Nature is cruel.
Spoken like a hunter.
Has ever watched a deer die of disease or watched deer fight to the death? Yeah, you know.
Or get hit by a car.
Cruel.
Well, I don't think I would talk to a hunter who sits there and says, yeah, I want to prolong this death as long as possible. Typically, their goal is to kill the animal as quickly as possible and as humanely as possible. And hunters are the people that I see respect animals more than.
I mean, in Bambi, the hunter was a good guy. Oh, wait. I mean, she would have died a cruel death apart from that. Yeah.
But I mean, like, they're not the people that I see. They respect it more than any other people that I've seen because they see it.
Yeah.
And they're very familiar with it.
Yeah.
Also, there's a culling the herd type of mentality when it comes to hunting. You're not supposed to kill something that'll disrupt the environment around you. Or, like, if there's an overrun of deer, you're going to need to kill deer or else it's going to overpopulate the environment.
Okay. Well, let's look at Genesis 9:3. What does that say?
Living thing that lives shall be food for you. As I give you the green plants, I give you everything.
Yeah. Okay, so why can we eat according to that passage?
Like candle?
Yeah.
Is it moving?
God.
It's moving.
after this freezes, you can't feel it.
Only feel okay.
You know, this the class next to us, they all want to transfer right now, don't they? They hear that we're having fun. So, I mean, basic answer, I mean, why does God allow for us to eat? I mean, we can't because God gives us permission, right? So he says you can kill animals, but you can't kill humans because created in God's image, yeah. And that's a real, issue with PETA is what do they do? I mean, who's made in God's image?
Human.
Not the cow.
Not the cow. Nobody is.
Yeah.
Nobody is.
Yeah, according to them.
Yeah, nobody is. There's no distinction between humans and the animal kingdom. So why, but going on, I mean, why does God take murderous attacks upon man personally?
We're his image bearers.
We're his image bearers, okay? So when you talk about human dignity, human dignity is rooted in the fact that every single man and woman and child is made in the image of God. Okay? That would be true of an unborn child, a newborn child, right? And note, can a newborn child feed themselves? Do they require care?
Yes. Not that long. Yeah. Not
that I have any feelings. Yes. Okay. Okay, so that's one thing, is you've got to establish man is made in the image of God. So Exodus 20:13 says, you shall not murder. Now, with the Ten Commandments, when you look at a lot of them, it says, like, you shall not worship any other, you know, God besides me. There's also a positive message in that, too, right? You know, you shall worship me. You shall not commit adultery. You shall save and protect marriage, right? So when you look at thou shalt not murder, what would be the corresponding positive command?
Preserve life.
Preserve life, right? Now, how would you define murder? For instance, what is the difference between murder and capital punishment of killing?
Or.
Between murder and capital punishment, it should be or. Got to change that one. Or killing in a just war.
They killed lots of people, and that was never, you know, it was never said that that was bad. Mm-hmm. But then God makes it very clear, you know, when David killed that one guy.
Uriah, that was murder.
That was very clearly stated as that was murder, and that was wrong.
Yeah. Well, look at Genesis 9:6 again. What does that say? Alan?
So who gets to decide, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed?
Yeah.
So who's the man that gets to shed the blood is the man that shed the blood?
No, people say that this is the first verse that establishes human government. And so when you look at the death penalty, and we'll talk about capital punishment a little bit later on, the reason why people forfeit their life, when you attack man in the image of God, you deserve to have your life forfeited because you committed that crime. And therefore, it's incumbent upon the tribe or whatever human authorities you have to allow that to happen. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so it takes a government then to decide that wrongful shedding of man's blood.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in a sense, like to answer, the person decides for themselves. When I take someone else's life, I've decided.
Yeah.
So I'm the one that's deciding.
Yeah.
If I kill someone, I've decided that my life could be taken.
Yeah. And they'll be executed. Now, in this case, it would be Noah was the government. At this point. But, you know, as society kind of grew and developed, it became more of a family than a family of families, and then from there.
This is also the first positive command to take life, to take a human life.
Yeah.
That it's not optional. Then a man's life can, man's blood can be shed. It's no. By man, his blood needs to be shed.
Yeah.
He has
killed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if someone shoots one of my kids, I have to give permission to go back and take him.
Yeah, I mean, and you look at the Old Testament, the way the government was set up, it was there had to be a fair, just, due process trial. Because taking another human life is serious, and you don't want to overcome murder with murder, right? You don't want to lynch the wrong person.
Right, you needed two witnesses, eyewitnesses.
Needed two witnesses, eyewitnesses to make sure it's established. But once it is, their life has to be forsaken.
There was a lot
forsaken.
Of descriptions about the difference between murder and like manslaughter. Okay, if the person intended that they die, or would they accidentally, that the axe flies off, you know, they could flee to the city of refuge, so there's all this kind of working out.
Yeah, if he didn't have a witness. Yeah. And so how about killing in a just war?
So would you say that there's a difference between murder and killing?
Yeah.
Right?
So capital punishment is not murder.
No.
But it is killing. Intentional killing.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it's not with malice necessarily, where murder would be with intent. Malice. Mm-hmm. Because somebody did something to me.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to principle of law or...
Yeah. So you look at a just war. I mean, what's the rationale for killing in that one?
Well, you're working for the government, and so you're doing what you're trained to do. Mm-hmm. But the key word, I think, there is just war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, have we been in an unjust war? Mm-hmm. Have you been ordered to kill in an unjust war?
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, that's a fine line, and I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the premise of a just war, we'll talk more about this when we get to Christians in War, would be self-defense. Okay. I'm saying, like, that's the fundamental, what, you know, self-defense is to protect human life by going to war. Now, just war in the Old Testament, when God says do it, you're executing his judgment. Okay. But if somebody were to come at me, you know, with a knife, with the intent to kill me, and then kill my family, and I were to shoot that person dead, that would not be murder. Mm-hmm. You know, that was trying to protect and do that. So the premise of a just war is kind of on a larger scale. It's to defend innocent life from a murderous regime, for instance. And so it does get pretty murky, though, when you have you had like a truly just war. I mean, I think we've had some just rationale for wars that were fought in some unjust ways. Nazi Germany, for instance, was specifically intended to kill people. They wanted to murder Jews. That was their rationale for fighting in existence. And so that would have been a case where, apart from war, they would have done that successfully. And they did it quite successfully, actually.
But Stalin did the same thing.
Stalin did the same thing, too, yeah.
He was our ally.
Yeah. He was our ally, yeah. That the German-Russian war wasn't a just war. But I would say the West against Germany was.
Would you say that something like the American Revolution, where it was about taxes and stuff like that, was a just war?
Oh, man. Okay, we're going to save that. That's a difficult question.
It's not on the next page.
Yeah, that's a difficult question. I'm not quite sure where I am on that, to be honest.
Yeah.
But then the Civil War, where we were fighting against slavery, that would have been...
Yeah, possibly, versus, yeah, states' rights versus, you know, the government is on my land with guns, so do I fight back or not? So, yeah, we'll talk more about just war and give it adequate treatment there, but it is, all I'm saying is that there is such a thing as just war. I'm not a pacifist. I think there is a place for self-defense, fighting for self-defense, and that category can exist. Okay.
When you say self-defense, does that qualify? I mean, if what if someone came, attacked your family, and got away,
mm-hmm.
and you knew they left you a note, or they made it clear that they were coming back for you?
Mm-hmm.
Does self-defense count as you seeking that person out?
No, that would fall into the category of getting the government. And if they killed one of the family members, it would turn them over to the government and allow them to execute justice. So, all that to say, killing is permissible under two categories in Scripture. Okay, I'm going to say just war, and I'm going to put self-defense in that category, okay? And then the other one would be capital punishment. Now, what is missing is suicide, right? You know, that's not given as a as a reason for permissibility for killing. Because when you do commit suicide, ultimately you're ending a life that has been made in the image of God. Okay. So how would he answer the objection that suicide is not expressly prohibited in the Bible?
What's the inverse, the opposite of murder is protect life? And
yeah.
That flies in the face of that.
Yeah. Yeah, life is to be preserved. And what's the value of life? What's it based out of? Made in the image of God, right? And there are some reasons you can take a life where that's commanded and sanctioned as a righteous thing to do. But suicide, I mean, can you commit suicide in self-defense? I mean, maybe if you're going to be transformed into a werewolf, but you know, that would not be suicide. That's to prevent you from killing people. Yeah.
Well, are there any exceptions for people with mental disorders? And the people that I know that have committed suicide,
yeah,
it took everyone by surprise. Looking back, there was a depression, or that's why I had a problem with that question about the one about hospitalized cancer patient, for example.
Uh-huh.
With 6 months to live, shoots himself. At first, you can't get a gun into the hospital. And then
The
unneeded psychological. I mean, to me, there is psychological suffering for the...
Yeah.
To think you were going to protect your family, it was not protective for the family members.
Yeah, I mean, I always say this. I mean, let's say I'm driving to Colorado, and I'm going to take the 50, and I'm about to pass a car, and then I hit some black ice and start swirling on the passing lane, and then I see a semi-truck coming right at me. And the very last words that I say are not edifying. Okay? I go into heaven cussing. Okay, that was my last act. Now, does that mean I'm condemned?
No.
No. Right? I mean, we're saved by grace through faith. And, you know, and if you look at the general pattern of my life, sometimes it's possible to die on a bad day. Now, does that make it right?
No.
It doesn't. So I would say, is it possible for a Christian to commit suicide? Yeah. I mean, it's possible that, you know, guy just works himself up into a froth, grabs a gun, and in 2 minutes, it's over. It's over. I had an uncle who committed suicide that way. He just got into a fight with his girlfriend, went into the room, grabbed the gun, boom, that was it. I mean, I think that's when you kind of understand the psychology of suicide, it is often a very fast decision, and states with the most relaxed gun laws are the ones with the highest suicide rates. And it's not because there's more depressed people there, it's just that they have a quicker, more efficient way of doing so. Yeah.
So I have a friend whose wife committed suicide a few weeks ago, a young mom, like a Christian.
Yeah.
You know, they said she suffered with mental illness as far as depression and anxiety, but she just walked in her house, shot herself, and that was it.
Yeah.
So I've had a lot of questions around her, you know, because they've talked a lot about her faith and the kind of person that she was. You know, what's the situation in that kind of a...
Yeah, I mean, I just think, I go back to the same thing. Dying on a bad day doesn't mean you're damned. I mean, there's no... But, I mean, as far as, like, when you are delusional, you're seeing... I mean, if all that is happening to you, I mean, the intent may not be as strong as it would be otherwise. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, I think it's still wrong.
Right.
It's still taking a human life. It still is a selfish action. But it's not necessarily, you know, I can do a funeral for somebody who committed suicide and still have a lot of hope for where they would go. Now, the suicide is not in the, you don't put the suicide in the they were definitely saved category point. You know what I'm saying? You don't put it in that part of the equation, but it is possible. I mean, there's a relatively well-known pastor in Southern California who committed suicide. There's been a number of pastors who committed suicide.
One of my pastors did.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even say
a former pastor here did
that with a mental illness, paranoia or anything, that it's even selfish. I think there's some mental problems that are just the person is just...
They've just lost
they've
it.
They've lost it.
Yeah.
Or yeah. Like
their reasoning and they're not capable.
Yeah.
In the case of women committing suicide, typically it's not a gun. I mean, most research shows that it's they don't choose to do it with a gun.
Yeah.
So if a woman chooses to do it with a gun, that typically means that there was a lot of mental issues going on, because they'll typically do it in a much more calm way, so that because when they're thinking about it, they don't want to leave their family with that to clean up. And so when you hear that it's been with a gun, that typically means that there was a lot of other things going on behind the scenes that maybe she wasn't being treated for, maybe no one knew about. And
So I don't take the Catholic position that suicide is an automatic highway to hell. But as far as assessing it, it is wrong. And let's do a few more of these passages, and then we'll kind of wrap up this class. Job 33:4, the Spirit of the God has made me, and the breath of Almighty has gives us life. And then Psalm 66:9, who keeps us in life and does not allow our feet to slip? I mean, how do the above verses strengthen the case against suicide?
If I'm alive right now, it's because he's keeping me alive.
Huh.
I want to act against God's.
Yeah. Yeah, so who ultimately is sovereign over life and death? God, right? So to take somebody's life that God has not commanded us to take, like in a just war or capital punishment, is to play the part of God. That makes sense? And so somebody who commits suicide, they basically presume to take their life over and against God's authority. So from the above passages, it's clear that life has been created by God, and only he has the prerogative to give or take it away. God's prerogative over life helps us to understand the exceptions that he has made. Capital punishment, a just war, and self-defense are divine means of taking life and judging the disobedient for their sin. Murder is wrong because it makes man sovereign over the termination of life. And I think that's one of the reasons why in a secular age, where people don't believe in God, they presume to be God over the end of their life. And it's one of the ways I think they try to master death is by saying, I'm going to die my way, not death's way. Okay, so Scott's going to be pinch hitting for me next week. So, all those tough questions that you had, he's going to be able to kind of answer them all. All right, let's pray. Well, Father, I do thank you for just the clarity that the Bible has on this issue. And we know that suicide is growing in popularity in a society that has rejected you, that no longer sees you as the author of life or the person who gives meaning to life. Many people believe their life is meaningless. I pray that you'll help us to know how to compassionately help those and to minister to those who have been victimized by suicide. Pray that this next part of our service, as we talk about you, your word, and your grace, will be deeply encouraging to us. In Christ's name, amen.